what's happening? How are you doing today? Thank you so much for being here. I am Chris of the world famous Cool Cars with Chris, man. You clicked on the right show at the right time. And on today's fabulous episode, Courage went on a little cruise driving all around San Diego. This was hosted by Avant the Car Club. And he took his car with a bunch of other cool cars where they went, what cars were available in the group, and what he did on that drive. You'll hear about that. And you might know that I had a Nissan 370Z sports car. In fact, I originally wanted to buy a 350Z sports car. And before that, I wanted to get a 300ZX sports car. So we are also talking about Nissan Z sports cars. Both of us have owned Z sports cars in the past. And possibly we might buy another one. Well, maybe. We'll see. Find out on this episode. Plus, speaking of cool cars and having a cool car, what is the psychology involved when it comes to daily driving your favorite car versus if you have, like, say, a fun weekend car that you only take out on the weekends? Does taking your favorite car out every single day to work, groceries, wherever, all the time, does it lose its luster if you're always in it all day, every single day? Well, find out all about that and more on this episode. Let's go. All right, we are live with video for the first time doing it here on with Cool Cars with Chris. I got Courage. How are you doing today, buddy? I see you now. How you doing?
Good, man. This is cool. First video podcast. This is a good situation. I like it.
Yeah, man. So truth be told, Courage was not flying down here on his private jet or his hot little sports car driving down here every single night. Truth be told, no, we did this remotely. So when you do things remotely like this with video, you obviously can see. That's what I like about audio is that, like, nobody really knows. You know, the magic of radio. Nobody knows that you're not here with us. So, but anyways, how are you doing today, buddy?
Yep, man. It's been a good Sunday. It was kind of a chore day. I was doing a lot of stuff just around the house that has been gotten put off for a while. So it was doing a lot of that. But it's been a good weekend. I had a cool little event on Saturday that I went out to.
Oh, really? Nice. Where'd you go, man? Where'd you go?
So I had an option of two different drives that were going on that I, at the last minute, decided on one that was more favorable. But the In Club, SoCal In Club, shout out to those guys. We're doing a drive up in Big Bear, actually.
How far is that from your place?
That's an hour and a half, about hour and 20.
Oh, really?
To get there. Yeah. And on top of that, they were starting to drive at 8 o'clock in the morning. So that meant I would have had to, like, be gone by 6:30 or so to make it there, which, again, it's not like
leave
terrible,
your house at 6:30 in the morning.
And then 2 hours worth of drive. Like, you know, we're going to drive. We're going to drive all through there. And then I had to drive another hour and a half back, depending on traffic. So as much as I want to go, I mean, I saw pictures. It looked like it was actually a little bit of snow still on the peaks and everything.
Oh, that's so right. It's so hot down there. I keep forgetting it's snowing everywhere. It's supposed to be wintertime.
Yeah. Do you know how hot it got up here yesterday?
Did it crack 100? Did it crack 100?
No, it wasn't that. I heard that it did crack 100 in some parts of California, which is not normal during the wintertime. But it was about 90 here, like 90, 91 or so in Temecula. And so it was a little weird, but, you know, we still managed. But I ended up actually going on a drive. I actually started out down in Spring Valley area.
You drove all the way down here?
Down to Spring Valley, which was only an hour. It was actually only like 55 minutes or so. So, you know, save myself 30, 40 minutes driving to the location. But the cool thing was that it was back through. We went up through like Sunrise Highway, up to Julian, and then came back to this cool little like garage, like bar kind of thing right off of the 79, Highway 7. It's called Garage 79.
Interesting. I've been through that route many, many times. I'm trying to imagine where it is.
Yeah, it's literally just one bar out in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of almost like if you remember like that scene in Fast and the Furious, except, you know, not the same setting where they're right on the beach, but just this little, you know, kind of cool little shack style.
And they
garage.
Sold food there too, or is it just like
ooh, got some really great Mexican food, tacos, burritos.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice.
Yep.
I gotta get out there and start doing that stuff, man. I gotta get out there and, you know, gosh, you're really on a car though. Anyways,
yeah, I know we're gonna talk about that for sure, but No, but it was cool. It was a good group of folks, very diverse car group. So, you know, I could have went out and drove with the in cars, but it was great, you know, kind of doing that. And it was cool too, because the loop basically brought me back home. So,
That makes sense too. Imagine if you went all the way around and came back down to San Diego. You like started here, stopped here, got to drive back home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure the same thing happens for other people that came out here. So how many, like, were they all in cars or were the other cars too?
No, so this one was like a whole diverse group. It was, you know, some Porsches. It was a cool guy I met there with a pretty pretty new, like, 911 Carrera 4S or something.
You see the price on those? I was looking at those today. I don't know how, when I'm looking at cars, like, the Porsches keep coming into the feed. And I'm like, $150,000? What's this thing? Oh, yeah, check that
out. They're calling you.
Yeah. 911s are like, I see the cheapest one I saw was, like, just about 100 grand, maybe 101. You know, I forget what year it was, but it was another 9/11.
People love them, man. They say once you they say it's like it's not a matter of when, but or not a matter of if, but when you'll like make that jump into one if you're like, you know, a car enthusiast. I don't fully agree. I think there's other cars that scratch the itch that, you know, 911s made, but I think that, you know, there is something special about that formula that they've been literally sticking to their entire existence.
And they stick to that entire, like, design since, like, forever. We saw one today. It was a 69 911.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it looks pretty old, you know, obviously, but then that whole, like, design is the same. I mean, similar to today, you know, a newer one for the most part. But that was pretty cool. You went out there, drove around. Now, when you guys go on a cruise like that, you guys have to, like, stay in uniform, stay together in a group, almost like a funeral procession. Is it like that? I imagine it's like that.
You try. Like, it is kind of like that, where you do want to, you know, initially we start out that way. You try your best, you know, especially if there's any freeway or city driving.
With lights, like, getting caught. Like, someone gets caught the light.
Yeah. Getting stuck at lights and things is like the easiest way to just get broken up. And we definitely did. I actually missed our exit getting off when we got off onto the back road to get to the 79. But luckily, a lot of those exits still, they find their way back. They gave us a good, like, GPS route to make sure we got back. And so I made my way back, but there was really just like a group of maybe like three of us for a while. And then we ended up, once we got to Julian, we all regrouped, and then we ended up making it.
Okay, so you had the spot. You knew exactly where you're going to be at, though, right? So it was like, hey, we're going here, figure it out. You know, meet us there when you get there. But everybody kind of knew. And you guys waited for everybody to get there though too? When you're all done, you guys get there?
Yeah, okay. We hung out there. We stayed there for probably a good like hour and a half or so, just kind of hanging out and meeting people, getting the chat and everything. So once we made it to the destination, you know, we all pretty much rolled in within about like 15 to 20-ish minutes from each other. So, you know, that I'd say that was a pretty successful drive for how long the drive was. Because
Did anybody have to get gas? So how's it work?
Well, that I was going to say that, yeah, because there were two guys there that had some absolutely insane builds. There were 240 SXs, different generations.
My favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of my favorites, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I think like 240Z, but yeah, the SXs, yeah, I haven't seen those in a while, but yeah. So those are like little four bangers, right?
They had some things. The one dude went the full sleeper build, where like on the outside you'd think like, oh, it's just this guy's little drift build or something, like, you know, just slap some paint here and there. He told me that he dyno pretty much about 600 horsepower on E85. And and that was the thing. Him and his buddy who came, they both had, you know, highly tuned 240s, and they both had to stop off the E85. So
There's places that have it now. A lot of stations have it now.
Yeah.
A lot of them do. I mean, when I was getting 85 for my truck a lot, I kind of knew the ones that had it. The Chevron seemed to have it. Some of the Arcos had it. A lot of Chevrons I knew had it. And so I would find the ones that did, and I would just go there, you know, and stuff, and find my spot. But if I had to like do a route and required E85, the entire route, like a destination drive like you just did, like I would have to, I don't know if is there an app for that to figure out where the E85
is? I'm sure that I know that there is, and I'm sure they knew, because they told us right on the drive. They were like, yeah, we're probably going to have to take a slightly different route to go fill up. And so, yeah, when you get out to those areas like Pine Valley and, you know, some Alpine.
Yeah, I don't know if they have it out that way. Now, how many cars in total would you say?
I think it was probably about 20-ish. Yeah, probably about 20 cars. So it was when we were making that final like kind of drive up to the restaurant, to the place, It was a long, you know, straight road, and we came down this one hill, and you could see all of the cars that were in our group, and then you really kind of saw the scale of just the amount of cars with us. So that was a pretty cool little situation.
What was the cost to join to do this? Was it free or how?
This was free. Yeah, it was a an Avant event, which Avant is like a, they've done this in different, you know, different markets throughout the U.S., but they've just kind of opened up a San Diego kind of division of Avant.
Now they're detailing, right?
No, so they have a Elite Finish is like one of the large like detailing shops here in San Diego. But one of the guys that used to work for Elite Finish is actually the one who's spearheading the Avant San Diego group. And so it is a membership to kind of be a part of this kind of car club in a sense. But you know, their whole kind of marketing play is that, you know, you actually do get like legitimate discounts from Michelin. You know, they give packages for all of like the auto detail, like Griots and, you know, those kind of like auto detail, you know, car care companies. And then on top of that, they let you know of like, you know, kind of events that they're putting on, like these drives. And that was actually how, you know, I went to the Doug DeVere.
Right.
I
knew that was your
thing,
ticket in so. There. That was your golden ticket.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, Mr. Hollywood over here.
Yeah.
Get all the press passes for all the cool events, man. Well, that's super cool, man. Did the kiddos go? The wife go? Just you by yourself?
No, this was just me. Just solo drive. I needed. We definitely want to have us a fun little drive, and so and the little ones didn't wake up in time anyway. So, no, it was lone wolfing it this time around. I say whenever I in my videos when it's like not the kids in there, it's like it's the Driven Dad solo series for a little bit, but.
I'm
blessed that the wife let me get out for a little bit and have some fun. And no, it was a cool little day for sure.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Take your car out and drive it and have some fun with it. I know that you do these events. You do take your car on drives like this and events like this. Do drive your car around a lot. How often do you ever take it to like work? Like drive for like normal drive. Not like fun driving, but like regular, got to go somewhere kind of drives.
To like commute. Yeah.
Right.
Well, it really, to be honest, like, I mean, I do drive to where I'll get to that, but like, really, honestly, I drive it literally everywhere. Like, it's the grocery getter. It's the, you know, it's the just, you know, go to the beach car. Like, it's, we have one other car, but this car does like so much that I tend to use it all the time.
Okay. Still enjoy it though, right? That's my point.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at.
It's pretty weird that like, yeah, you, a lot of times when you drive something all the time, you get a little jaded. Like, you don't really enjoy getting in as much as you do all the time, but it just has, you know, such dual personality where, you know, you can be chill and just commute in it, which I do commute down to San Diego a couple times out of the week. So I'll do that. But I also, every once in a while, I have to go out to like job sites. Like I take that car out.
They don't give you a company car for that? They don't give you something like that?
No, I get mileage. I have a company car, and then I get mileage reimbursement. I used to get mileage reimbursement, but now because it's like sort of ingrained in like the whole payment structure, they don't do that anymore. But
they just like it's part of your income now. So it's like
part of your
salary.
That's
like
how companies do.
Oh, that's how they do it these days.
That's a mileage allowance or something like that.
But you do keep track of that still, or how does that work?
No, so they'll just determine it kind of based on like if I was having to travel, say like every week or something like that, they would just increase the mileage allowance. So because I only travel out periodically, say once or twice, like, you know, a quarter or something like that, you know, that's they set that as like, okay, this is how much you would be spending, you know, if you're commuting out and using your own car or if you were renting a car or something like that.
Okay. You rent cars a lot. See, I know you told me that you love that Turo.
I used to do that a lot. Yeah. Uh-huh. I used to do that a lot, especially for work trips. I used to use Turo. I haven't done that in a while. I've been kind of itching to have an excuse to do that. But it just, you know, I just haven't had any reason to as of late. But
did they give you a cap on that for work? Like how much you can spend on Turo per car?
Yeah.
You can't get like a new Vette or Porsche or something like that. You can't.
Plus, I'm going out to these like work sites that like
it's all dirt and dust.
It's all dirt and dust and everything. The last thing you want to do.
I wouldn't take my own car out there either. I don't think I'd want to. You know. I mean, my truck. You know, it's 4-wheel drive, but even still, I don't want to get all filthy and you know. I mean, it's got some battle scars and stuff too. But yeah. I mean, I like to keep it clean. You know,
I mean, yeah, that's the one thing is that it's usually not that bad with like the dust as long as it's not like raining and everything. But I did have one trip that I came back from Arizona where I came back and it was right after they had like a bunch of rainstorms out there. And so I drove through like these areas where it was like super muddy. And, you know, the even like the job site itself, they had just kind of regraded everything because the rain was so bad. When I got back, like the inside of my wheel well was just coated with just all of this like thick mud and everything.
And your tires, are they summer tires? Or are they like regular tires?
They are. The Pilot Sport 4S tires are pretty kind of dual use. Like you can use them in some, you know, kind of wet weather and still get some decent performance out of them. But they are a summer tire at the end of the day. So like if it's a really like heavy, you know, weather situation, you probably don't want to be driving on them.
Right. Or I was thinking like the dirt and stuff and getting kind of traction because some of those tires are pretty slick and they're designed for like the track and street use. Like I wouldn't be taking like job sites.
They do a lot. Like they really like a large budget. Actually, like a lot of these projects is like, really grading these sites so that like they can be used as like major road rays for like deliveries and all that stuff. Like it's not ideal. Like at the end of the day,
it's like a really packed like dirt, almost like clay,
super compacted. Yeah,
yeah, like a clay. But
don't get a lot of loose mud patches and things like that.
Yeah, I remember I used to deliver out there to a lot of sites, and if it rained, we couldn't get out there because the trucks get stuck. We couldn't get close to the. Your front axle touches the job site, it just like sinks in. It's that clay mud. Yeah. It looks solid. You look at it, and then you go into it. Nope. And then back out of there. But
it's like, we ain't getting this delivery or whatever today. So.
But the thing is, with your car though, like if you use your car for everything, you don't think you're going to be getting sick of it, like driving for fun things too.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a valid question. I'm going on actually 3 years of owning the car now. Because 22, yeah. So about 3 years owning the car. And, I don't daily commute it. Like if I was like in, you know, Temecula, the San Diego traffic every single day.
Yeah. 5 days a week.
5 days a week. Like, you know, that would be a different story. But the fact that, it's usually like once, maybe twice. I do go down to San Diego for other reasons, but it's usually not commuting to work. I think that lowers that, you know, that whole mentality of like, yeah, I'm getting tired of sitting in this car too much. But
I think it also kind of sucks away some of the specialness out of it, you know. I remember when I had my car, it was like that too. I started driving a lot for work, but for a while, I was just driving on the weekends. And then driving the truck, but then I switched back to driving the car and then drive the truck on the weekends. So the truck became special to me, you know? So, it's kind of cool to have multiple cars where you can kind of pull it off. If it's your only car, like someone has their only car and they're doing events like you just did, and they're commuting to Temecula, San Diego, and they're taking the groceries and the kids and soccer and what else I got to do. It's just like, I don't know, man. I don't know if you kind of lose that luster, you know? I think that's why a lot of people have. When they have their cool car, it's like their weekend car or whatever, their pride and joy, you know, not something they drive every day. But there's situations where it is a car you drive every day. I don't know. It's there's a psychological thing about that, you know,
I'm definitely excited to eventually have something where, it is kind of more dedicated to like the special drives and things like that. I mean, weirdly enough, when I had my 300ZX, I actually dailied that car. I literally dailied that car. I was still in college, so I was like driving back and forth from like Mission Valley area to San Diego State, and I drove that car home multiple times from here to the Bay Area, packed deep with all of my stuff. And I probably in the time I owned that car over 6 years probably put like 100,000-ish miles, if not
you
more.
Put 100,000 miles on it?
I think so. Yeah.
You like, did by yourself? Holy crap.
Yeah. I did a lot of driving in that car for sure.
What year was that one?
90.
No, so it was the first year or second year?
First year. Yeah.
I thought 99 was the first year. Maybe it was 90. Okay. So first year, and it wasn't the twin turbo, was it?
No, it was the NA. If it was a twin turbo, that car wouldn't last as long as it did, you know, because I did a lot of work on my own, but it was mainly just because the NA is a little bit more conducive to that kind of stuff.
Oh, really?
But
how powerful was it? I mean, it's been a while since you've had it, but how does it feel like? I mean, that compared to your car, different car, totally different car. But when you drove it, how did it feel to you? I mean, I know it's not the turbo, but did it feel like it had power? I mean, because I've driven the Z31s before.
Yeah,
And so I just can't imagine it feels a little better than that.
Compared to the Z31, especially like an NA, like the Z32 definitely, even that felt like, you know, peppier than the Z31. The thing about the NAs of the Z32s, though, is that they were linear power because they were, you know, V6s and NA, but, you know, you're really not really getting into a lot of the torque until like, you know, 3000 RPM and above. It did get kind of shouty, which I did kind of like. I did have an exhaust on it, which was nice when they were kind of, when you would rev it out. But comparatively, like, you know, knowing what I know now and like the power level I'm at with this car, it's like, it was a different world. Like it was, you know, I would have loved to have a twin turbo because those are more comparable power wise.
Can you like take a naturally aspirated 300ZX and add turbos to it?
Oh yeah, you can do that. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people though. I've seen people both switch. You know, they'll swap a twin turbo in because it's the same front end clip. So you can literally just swap.
Is it the same block? Is it the same motor itself?
I think so. I think there's some slight differences in there because it's like I forgot the whole like code name or whatever, but there's some slight differences and like some internals and different things like that that really make the twin turbo what it is.
Yeah, but I think so.
Overall, they're the same size though. They're the same.
Yeah, three liter or whatever.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Dude, I think I've realized something that I think I'm a Z guy. A Z guy. I'm officially going to make a shirt that says the Z guy or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I love the Z brand. I've driven many Zs and I've driven the Z31s a lot because my sister had one and friends had them and stuff. I never driven a Z32. So I was asking you about that. But I've driven a Z30, which one? The Z33, which is
the 350. That's the 350.
I've driven those around. And of course, I've owned a 370. I've driven that a lot, around a lot. And I've got Z stuff.
Add a Z30. What do they call it? Z35?
I don't know if they do or not with the new one. I'm not even sure. Maybe I don't know. I haven't gone that deep into it. To tell you the truth, you know. And those new Zs are kind of sitting on lots. They are selling, but they are seeming like a high turnover rate because I've seen them used, like a 2025 model used, 2024 model used. I mean, you just got the thing, you know. A lot of them used and things like that. And even with the used ones, you still want like 40, 50 grand, you know, 60 grand or whatever for those things and stuff. So,
you know, but when they started offering them with manuals and they did have like a big kind of price discount, a lot of people were talking about it last year. They started to move a lot better than they did initially. But
it's hard to find a manual because even on, every dealership, it's like automatic.
Yeah.
Or is it Nismo? Automatic. Whatever. You know?
It's like, why? Like, the Nismo should be the one.
Well,
like,
yeah. So, I've been kind of like browsing, you know.
Yeah. I definitely hear some stuff about this. So, yeah.
I got this bug. I'm thinking, like, I miss my Z so much. I miss it. You know, I know it had a lot of problems towards the end, and I spent a ton of money fixing it. I needed, before I sold the car, I had to put on new brakes. Well, that was the first thing I did because it squeaked a lot. I put new brakes on the thing. Super expensive. Brembo's, rotors, all that. It was like $3,000 or some ridiculous amount of money. And then it needed tires. The tires were getting old. Needed new tires. Tires weren't that much. I think about it. They weren't that much. But still had to pay for tires. And then it needed clutch. The clutch went out. That was a big job. It was like $3,000 for the clutch. The clutch went out. I mean, slave cylinder. You know, it was a 2011 370Z, and somewhere between the 2009, it first came out to like 2015 or whatever, they had issues with all that kind of stuff. And mine also didn't have an oil cooler on it either. So the oil temperatures did get hot quickly. Mm. I knew that too. And it got hot. And I was kind of like, when I took it in the canyons and it got to like 240 degrees oil or whatever, or 220, whatever it is. And also, too.
Sorry to interrupt, but no. I was going to say that was one thing that happened on this drive on Saturday that was
a little bit different.
Got up to, I think, because climbing up those hills going up towards like Cuyamaca.
You're doing Pikes Peak, what you're doing, buddy.
I haven't done that for a while. And it got up to about like 89 and 90 degrees outside. And so, there were a couple points where I was at like about 235 to 240. And I had
Cutoff point on your car, or like it was lit mode?
About like 260 is really like the top end. Like
your car will go limp mode. Do you know that?
Like the gauge actually turns red. Like it'll show, it'll change the numbering for your, if your engine temp and your oil temp are up high, go red, and it'll warn you at that point. Like 235, 240 isn't like bad for say if you were on track and you were going to, you had 240 oil temp, that's not terrible.
Right.
But I think now I probably, not to derail from what you're talking about, but they said that going a higher weight oil is probably beneficial. You'll probably get, a little bit better heat management.
Thinning it down or whatever and stuff. So, but mine, I didn't have any issues with oil, but it did get hot, but I didn't track the car. I didn't think crazy like that, but I have driven it, in the hills and stuff a few times and things like that. Things like you just did. Nothing too crazy, And it did get hot, whatever, and stuff like that. But what else did I fix in the car? Oh, I needed new plugs. I even got that fixed. It's starting to need a lot of work. And at the time, I was married to my ex-wife. And, I thought, well, I know this new Z just came out, and I figured the new Z was being super overpriced. They were marking those things up like crazy, the new Z. And I'm like, well, maybe I can sell mine and make some of my money back I spent on fixing it, whatever kind of a thing. And even though I love the car, I loved it, I was like, man, if I could just sell it at top of the market right now, because everyone's looking for Zs because the new Z came out, then maybe. And then I still had a hard time selling. I thought I would sell it right away. I still had a hard time selling. It wasn't like I got a ton of balls. I got some low balls come through there.
What year was this? 23-ish?
Z? My Z was 2011.
No, but what year were you trying to sell it?
It was whenever the new Z officially hit dealerships, and they were marking it up to I saw one on Instagram, I swear, I think it was $150,000 or some ridiculous amount of money. Somebody posted a window sticker or the dealer sticker from some dealership. It was $150,000. It was some ridiculous amount of money. And that's what I thought. Yeah. Well, if they're asking $150,000 for a yes. Newsy, I want mine's in good condition. I wonder if I can sell mine, And so, and besides, not to say I was getting bored with the car, but I think it was kind of I didn't have time to really do the fun drives like I used to. I was doing fun drives a lot. I didn't have time to do that a lot. We were traveling a lot for other stuff, and the car just became, to me at that point, just kind of became a commuter car. Like literally I just drove to work, and it was my drive back to work car. That's all it really became, and the truck on the weekends or whatever, either or, but it wasn't really like a fun spirited drive. I mean, once in a while I would take it out, but it wasn't like what you're doing kind of a thing, and stuff like that. And I kind of missed that. And had I known about cars and coffee events back then, I would have been taking those things. I was actually looking to go joining a Z Club when I first got the car, and looked at the San Diego Z Club. But the thing is, they were meeting on I think it was Thursday nights or some night that I had to work or whatever. And so I'm like, well, I can't even do that anyways. But had I known, Sundays, it would have been all over, But
I was part of ZCSD. For a long time, and I hung out with, I still talk with a couple of those guys kind of here and there, and they would use, I don't know if they still do, but they would meet over at this Denny's over in Claremont Mesa area.
Oakland Boulevard, I thought somewhere around there. I saw something on their website about that, and I was like, oh, it'd be super cool to do that, I just never pulled the trigger on that stuff. And then what happened? I think Christine and I, I started doing podcast, I had Podcastic Audio, but I think I started doing Podcastic Audio as a business, and I think I had a lot of other things kind of going on at the same time. So when I have a lot of different things happening at the same time, I kind of if I can sell it, make some money on it, I mean, it's not like my daily car. A lot of people have a car and they have that one car and they have to trade it in for the next car they drive for. They need a car. I had two cars at that point. I had the truck, which is new, and I had the Z. And I didn't need two cars at that time. So I'm like, if I can sell it. And that's what I did. And this car was totally paid for, paid off and everything, although I got ripped off of that stupid deal when I bought the car. I never did that again. But, they sold me everything. When I bought the car, I had them throw everything at it. Every warranty, every gap. All the crap in the world they threw on it. And it racked that total price tag up way, way high. And I'm like, holy crap. I didn't think about it. I was focusing at the payment. I was like, whatever, But it got really, really high. But eventually I paid it off. I got some cash and I paid the car off early. And then I had the car, I was totally paid off, which is great, And then I just sold the car. Now I'm kind of regretting not having a cool car. I go to these cool cars and coffee, talk to you, and you guys do your fun stuff. Dude, I want to be part of the cool kid club. You know, I want to be able to do these fun things, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, my son has the Mustang. It's not really mine. It's his, you know, I mean, and so it's fun. So
that's definitely some cool bonding that you guys, I feel like that you guys have been able to do.
Oh, definitely.
I saw you post from today, actually. I think you might have made it over to one of the other. Yeah, the Poway one.
We didn't sit very long, though. But we were there for like maybe the first hour that we left. But yeah, we were there, saw some cool stuff. Yeah, he was getting kind of bored. I think he was kind of bored. We saw some cool cars. So there wasn't a lot of cars there. And he took some pictures. I think for him, it's more about like just go and see what else other cars are there. Take pictures, mm-hmm. check them out, and then bounce, you know,
yeah.
or whatever. So that's kind of what we did today. But we've been doing that. And it's kind of fun to take his car over there because it's kind of a cool car, you know. Versus the truck. I mean, truck's cool too, but I just don't feel like it's the same as a car, a cool car, you know?
Well, I mean, you got some hardcore truck guys out there, man. I'm like, you know, I remember when we went out to the Scripps Ranch one a couple weeks ago when you were eyeing that Bronco.
Oh, yeah.
That classic Bronco. And you know, obviously, like, those are, you know, a different realm too in terms of, like, what can pay for those on top of like what it costs to like really like modify one of those too.
Oh, but, keep it going, you know, too, and all that stuff too. So I mean, it's an e-car really. So, but lately,
cool.
Yeah, lately. So lately I've been kind of getting the itch to get back behind the wheel of a Z.
Yeah.
Now when I bought my son his Mustang, the same day we were looking at a Z at the lot, they had a couple 350s. I told the story before, but I test drove one. It was an 03, which is like first generation 350. And I test drove it. It was fun. It was great. It took me back to amazing times enjoying the Z again. Now, I felt like my 370 was faster than that 350, and it should be. It's a newer car. The 370 is an evolution of 350.
It powered it.
This was the first generation 350. So it had the DE motor. And it had less power, less torque. And it just seemed like, I mean, it was fun though. Don't get me wrong. It was a very fun car to drive. It was a blast. I got really comfortable with it. I loved it. It was great. Very notchy on the stick shift. Very, very easy to drive. I mean, it felt tight. I guess the shifter felt tight and all that stuff. So it was fine. You know, I said, that's cool. But I didn't pick that up. So now I'm kind of regretting it because I went back to look at it and it was sold. I couldn't find it. It was gone. So I'm like, all right, whatever, you know, and I started looking at, well, I had 370s. I wonder if I can find a 370. Let's look at 370s. Same thing. Look at 370s again. And they surprisingly, the 370s, you think you see them everywhere. You think they're everywhere for sale. And they kind of are. Unfortunately, they're like ones with like salvage title or automatics or convertibles and automatics.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want any of that crap. What I want...
Is that like the worst combo? Is like a convertible and automatic?
Do that okay? Convertible automatic Z.
Like,
screams,
what would be your ranking of what?
It's well, okay. A convertible automatic Z just screams that I want a cool looking car, but that's it. It could have a 4-cylinder in there. It could have 2-cylinder in there. They wouldn't care. The guy who buys that does not care what kind of engine the thing has or anything like that. They just want to just cruise, and especially the automatic ones, you know. You know, like a Miata, for example. But Miatas are cool too. You know, whatever. You know, it's kind of the same deal.
But don't get an automatic Miata though. That's
do they even sell automatic Miatas?
I think they do because they sell automatic Miatas and then like BRZs.
Oh, really?
FRS, GR, like those two cars are like ones where it's like they just need to be a manual.
Well, that's
like,
the thing. So we're going back to the Z. I'm trying to find one that's not a automatic, and there are a few in town. There are a few. And so there was two, actually. One that was close by. The first one, I didn't look at it in person, but the first one, it was an 09, which is first gen. I'm like, I don't know, what a first generation one. That's all the issues, you know, they got to deal with. And so I'm like, I don't know, it's a stick shift. I don't know, whatever. It's not that far. Okay, it's price low. Miles are kind of high like the other one. And this other one I looked at, It was newer. It was 2016, which is newer. And by 2016, they've already put an oil cooler on the car, Nissan by Nissan oil cooler. They've addressed whatever issues they had by 2015. So some of the issues that plagued the earlier ones got fixed by the time it got to 2016. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to head over there and check it out. I had some time on Saturday. I dropped my son off at practice or something. And then my other son and I went over there in the Mustang. So I had to find the place, found the dealership. And we use car lot, whatever. We go in there, pull into the driveway, see the place, pull in there. And the Z happened to be like right out front, which is usually sometimes you go to look at a car and they have them like buried in the back behind like a bunch of other cars. They got to move cars to get to the car you want to look at. Because it happened to be one about my Z. Funny thing, one about my Z, it was in front, but they had it buried by cars behind it. So you couldn't even like, they had to like dig it out.
To like, if I want to test drive this, I'm 100%. For them to like...
Exactly what they did. But this one, the car was literally parked right in front of like their front window of their little office building or whatever they had there, kind of backed in. I was like, sweet.
Was it a Nissan dealership?
No, used car lot.
Gotcha.
And so I the guy's total like blood in the water sharks. The guys come out, hey, how you doing? You want to buy this? Total blood in the water. Like, no, I'm the only one there. You know, we keep pulling the Mustang, you know. And say we just got this like a couple weeks ago, a month ago, whatever. And I'm looking at the Z. I see the Z. Is this the Z I saw online right here? I'm just wondering, oh, yeah, this is it right here. I say, you have the keys? Can you check it out? And they say, oh, yeah, we'll get it. So the guy goes inside, talks to somebody else. I forget who. Gets the keys. And immediately, I wanted to like, well, we were doing walking around the vehicle. Jacob and I were like looking around, like kind of like eyeing the vehicle from the outside without going inside or whatever. When he finally gets the car keys, he puts the car. I think he fires. Did he fire it up yet? No, He unlocked the car. I said, can you pop the... Because the guy went behind the wheel. I said, can you pop the hood for me? So the guy that worked there, whoever it was, he pops the hood and I pull the hood up. And the first thing I noticed about the hood is that it had aftermarket, like, what do you call those? Like little hydraulic struts on the hood.
Oh, yeah. So it, yeah.
Right.
So
but I remember my car had the actual stick, right? And the stick was still there. You can actually use the stick. But the thing that I like, pushed the hood up and it just like took up. I'm like, well, that's weird. I don't mind doing that.
Well, one thing though, because my 08 M35 has auto struts as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if, are you for sure that they were aftermarket? Because I think the,
yeah, okay. Here's why I say that is because it had the stick still there.
So that's a giveaway then.
And mine had the stick. I remember, I mean, how they wouldn't change the hood struts. I don't think that'd be something they would change going from 11 to 16. I doubt it. I know they didn't change much on the car, but I doubt it'd be something they changed. So it did the actual hood stick was there. And I'm checking out the car and I see the intake because it is a modified intake on the car. I noticed that from looking online. I want to see it. And the first thing I want to look at, I'm looking at the intake. I'm looking at the hoses. And you can see where it's a cold air intake. It comes off both throttle bodies on both sides and it goes down into the bumper and disappears. I can't see the filter. I don't know where it is. And so I'm like, that's weird. And then I'm looking for, because on the actual car itself, on the front of the car, they have like a smog check okay sticker that they put on, the dealer put on there. And I'm thinking, okay, well, if it's smog check okay, I don't see this. I'm looking for a sticker for the intake, for the carb legal intake. And I did find it. It was on the hood. Under the hood, looked up and under the hood, I could see the name of the brand of the intake, the carb number and the carb legal and all that stuff. Sticker like mounted on there, so it is carb legal, and that's a big plus, because if you have anything modified to the intake, anything at all in California, good luck getting it smogged. I didn't have an intake on my other Z. I just had modified like Mishimoto tubes that ran from the airbox to the throttle body, and they threw a fit about that. So the guy's like, well, I don't think char, I don't think smog or whatever, but this one says it has a whole smog pass, great, whatever. So then the guy fires the car up, you know, and I said, I gotta take it for a drive. So sure, why not? I gotta get my license, take a picture, copy my license. They do that. If you take a test drive, they want a copy of your ID. Probably you steal it or something, or who knows what. So I immediately get Jacob, get in the car, let's go. I get in the car and I'm trying to get familiar with it, get my seatbelt on, get every kind of like situated, you know. I mean, I've driven this car before, so it felt like right at home. I know where the seatbelt was, where everything clicked, you know, the adjusting the steering wheel, because the steering wheel was kind of out of adjustment. I adjust the steering wheel, figure that all out. Great, let's go. And I reached down for the clutch pedal, pushed the clutch in, and then I put the thing in gear. Oh, nice and easy. I start letting it out, so I give it some little bit of gas, and I realize, what, my foot's stuck on something. What's down here? I'm pressing the brake pedal, but why is the throttle body? Like I hear the throttle going, but the brakes, I'm pressing the brake, I hear the throttle going, and I'm like, what is going on? So then I quickly grab, like I pull it into neutral, yank the e-brake, step out of the car. We've gone like 5 feet from the parking spot. And so, and I get down, I look in the pedals, down by the pedals, and I see it's some kind of like wire cable dangling right above where the pedal, like right across where the pedals would be, like right in the way the pedals. I'm like, what the hell is this?
It's like
this?
Ambient lighting or something
right.
like that.
The guy had some kind of like lighting system that's supposed to be like right above the pedals. Super dangerous, kids. Don't do this at home. Because when this thing breaks loose, because it did, it will go right in front of your feet. And you want nothing in front of your pedals, behind your pedals, or in front of your pedals when you're driving a car. Any car. You don't want a water bottle rolling around, getting caught behind the brake pedal, or a soda can, or a can of peas, or whatever you got. You want nothing in front of the pedals, around the pedals at all. So I immediately took that wire, and I yanked it, and kind of pulled it back. I couldn't yank it out of the car. So what I did was I pulled it back towards the front of the seat to get it furthest away I could from the pedals. So it's back towards me now, but my feet aren't by it. So I pulled it away. And I'm like, okay, well, that's stupid. But so I said, that's dumb. I get in the car. I put it in first gear. And I kind of leave their little parking lot there. And it's like the parking lot has like a little bit downhill to the main street. It's like a little of a hill. So you go, I went down the slight dip down to the street, waited for cars to clear. And then I got in, started driving away on the right side there. I got to the first light and I kind of get familiar with the thing. And the shifter, I'm thinking, but the shifter felt loose. Like that's where the shifter feels kind of loose. Because mine was like stock. So, you know, but so the shifter felt loose. But then I put it in first gear. And then I kind of like, at my green light I had on Oklahoma Boulevard there, I, you know, gave it some juice, you know. And I didn't give it too crazy because we're still like a 35 mile an hour zone. So I couldn't get too fast. But instantly the car woke up and it like, it felt so incredibly fast, like so much faster than my other Z I had. And so much, way much faster than that 350 I drove. And yeah. the way that the shifter was a weighted shifter. So I don't know if the car has ever had a clutch job. I'm assuming it has, but the Carfax report didn't show that. And so that's why I'm thinking the Carfax didn't show any of the modifications they did. And so
I don't know if they normally would anyway.
A clutch
self done.
My clutch did. If you get clutch done at like a shop, it'll be on the Carfax.
Yeah.
And so like anything, a radiator, whatever, you know, it'll be on there. And the Carfax pretty much didn't say much of nothing, but a few oil changes or whatever, you know. And so I'm driving the thing. The clutch felt very easy to drive. Very smooth, very light. It was a very light clutch. It was like boom, boom. Shifting felt so easy. It almost felt too easy. And because mine felt a little notch where you kind of like, it feels a little tight where you know what I'm saying? Where it's not like this is.
You know, like you're in it. Like you're, because my Z was like that too.
But this one, I don't know if it was a shifter or the combination of the shifter, maybe a new clutch or what he did, but it was very, very, very light. Excuse me. Very light to use. And it was so easy. I almost could shift the thing with my finger. That's how easy it was.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's interesting because it's like, you know, you get used to either one or the other, I feel like. And like when you're used to something that's like a bit more notchy and like you kind of, I don't want to say you have to force it, but you really like feel like you're doing something.
Yeah,
when you
and
shift
the 350
in.
Was very notchy. The 350 was very, very notchy. I remember it was like, he's like, oof, oof. To get it in there in each spot. This, there was none of that. It was like just going right in, back and forth, almost like, and like even at neutral, it felt like incredibly loose, but it felt looser than I'm like, that's weird. So, but this car has been modified and I don't know what they did to the car. But once I got it, go down a straightaway where I can get going with the thing and get a couple of gears out of it, getting the third or fourth gear, whatever I had in the thing, getting on the freeway. I was like, holy crap, this thing feels so crazy fast. But also, I haven't driven one of these in a while, too. But I remember what the other one felt like, and this feels way faster than the other one did. And so I knew it had pipes on the back, like an exhaust, but I didn't know if it had a full cat-back or just it had replacement mufflers. Like, I don't know about that. I couldn't, the car's so low to the ground, you can't really look underneath there to see. You know,
did it seem like it was lowered at all? Like,
no, I mean, I remember mine was low too. Mine was stock too, but it was pretty low. Like you couldn't really see underneath the car unless the car was like on a hill, like a slight incline, and you kind of get underneath and look underneath on a hill maybe. But other than that, like if it's flat surface, it's like I mean, you look in the, I was looking back underneath there and it looks like the mufflers were bolted onto some piping, but I don't know if that was piping was stock piping or if it was aftermarket all the way back. That I do not know. And so, I thought it was so much fun. It was so much fun driving that car. No check engine lights. No, I mean, the one thing I would say it was a downside. The first thing I noticed when I got in the car was the first bummer. I was like, oh man, it doesn't have that. It doesn't have sync rev. And
And
my other car did, right? And I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. But it's not a total deal breaker, but it was something of fun to have on the Z.
It's a convenience for sure. Even car, now that I've gotten used to a car that has that, like not having it would be one of those where it's like, oh man, like that would be great to like still have that feature. But I suspect like if you got it, you'd be getting that heel toe crisp downshifts.
My feet are too big. I don't know if I can pull it off. But the I used to drive the Z around and I put it in that mode a lot when I was in the canyons or spirited driving and things like that. But there was lots of times I just cruised it in regular because I noticed that it would, if you kicked it in neutral, come into a light, the sync rev thought you're putting into like first or second. And like, it was like start revving like crazy. And so I had to turn it off for those kind of things and stuff like that. But didn't have that. But the shifter was very, very easy to use and very easy to shift. It was so like incredibly, like this is so easy to drive. Like I'm driving the thing and I'm like, oh, this is fast. This is dangerous. This is so easy to drive. Like I can see myself driving this thing. And here's the best part. It's the exact same color as my Z.
That's your LZ. How nice.
Yeah. Exact same color and everything, which is a total trip, you know. And oh, it did have a ducktail wing on the back.
Okay, so yeah, just like the, you know, flush with the body, but extends out
But it flips up like a ducktail, which kind of threw me off because I'm looking in the rearview mirror. It kind of blocks the mirror a little bit. And I'm looking back there. I'm like, can't really see very well. And the car's totally tinted like dark from like bumper to bumper, you know. Not the windshield, but everything else too. Which I'm like, the thing about me with cars, I told Jacob this the other day, I was like yesterday, talking about that other car, is that I don't want to get pulled over, you know? Yeah. And I don't want to be like seen. I don't want to attract the cops. I know like if your car has no front license plate, which does not, no front license plate, tinted windows, loud car, you know, if it's lowered and it's got like the window tint, like all around, dude, I mean, come on, you're probably gonna pull over, maybe stay
let alone if it's a bright color,
that's a good thing to go for.
Probably, that's the one thing I go for. But yeah, if you got like a bright red car with all of those other things on top of it, like, you know, that's you're a magnet for sure.
Right. And so what I decided to do, I told the guy, so we went inside, talked numbers, the guy wouldn't budge on the price. And I'm like, come on, dude. I mean, the car's been sitting on this lot for a long time. I know that because I can see the data, you know, and they've lowered the price according to the data. You can look on some websites, you can see what the price was listed at and like when it got dropped. And when it got dropped, they've already dropped it a few rounds already, like twice that I could tell. Yeah. And so I'm thinking maybe they want to play ball. Maybe I'll, you know, come by, you know, not like low ball, but maybe I'll give them like a, you know, like maybe I'll get, you know, not pay full price for it or whatever. And so the guy didn't want to budge on it. He's like trying to say, well, it's a rare, you know, car because it's a 370 with a stick shift. They're hard to find and blah, 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 all stuff. I'm like, okay, well, here's what I told the guy.
All the mods, man. I'm like, you know.
That's what's where it worries you. So when you mod a car, it worries me. And so I'm like, okay. I told the guy, here's what I'll do. How about this? I would feel more comfortable if I took it to a mechanic that I picked. Because they already said, oh, our mechanic looked at it. Our mechanic said it's fine. Yeah, your mechanic said it's fine because you want to sell the car. You know, I mean, your mechanic probably is like, whatever, we changed the oil, it's great, whatever. Maybe you know, lights work. Okay, great, whatever. But not that I don't trust you, but dude, I don't really don't trust you. You know? Yeah. I mean, you're a sleazy used car salesman. You know what I'm saying? You know, so... I don't really trust you. But so I'm thinking like, okay, so on Tuesday, when we record this, I'm going to take it, have them. I told them the place. I went over to the place, checked with them first. And I told them, listen, I'm thinking about buying a modified 370Z. I need you guys to do a pre-purchase inspection, check everything over you can. You know, what's it going to cost to do that? When are you free to do it? And he said, Tuesday, sounds okay, fine. So I texted the owner, the car dealership guy. I said, Tuesday, this address, meet you there. He said, okay. So we'll see if he shows up on Tuesday at the place I suggested. I think if they want to sell the car, they will. And I told the guy, the mechanic guy, said the car is modified, and I'm mostly concerned with like the clutch, of course, any modifications, making sure it'll pass smog because it does have an intake. And I wasn't sure about a tune. You said about a tune because the car did feel crazy fast. I didn't hear any popping sounds on the exhaust or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, because that was, like I said, that was the only thing that would kind of clue like a little bit of a, like when it comes to smog, like, you know, yes, your intake might be carb legal and, you know, to an extent, like right. Your exhaust might be fine.
If they run the ECU on the thing and they find out.
Yeah. You know, anything with the ECU or anything, you know, that could be a problem.
And that's why I would take it to a place that can run a lot of stuff and have them check that. The place I went over to says they do smog checks and all stuff around the building. So I'm assuming they have the tools to do a lot of crap anyways and see whether or not, if they can tell me pass the smog or not, before I buy the thing, then I'll know.
It almost was like, like if you were like real serious, like, can like smog test this thing now? And like,
Well, I just want them, maybe we'll see. We'll see what they'll do for me in the inspection, but they're probably gonna do like a visual inspection. But I gotta make sure the car is roadworthy. If there's any issues, I worry about like, the brakes are almost out or I don't know. You know, I mean,
just some, it's smart. Like, when you told me that, I was like, that's, like, especially giving them that specific, like, you know, I want to know if this thing is going to have any issues with smog and like, what would it be? Like, is it something easily reversible? Like, say, just get a new intake or whatever, or is it something that really would like take a lot of money to now reverse and get
and
back?
And also, it gives me buying power if it needs a bunch of work and say, well, you know, if I got to spend another like $2,000 on whatever needs to be fixed, why don't you lower the price by $2,000, you know, and it'll take you to fix or whatever kind of a thing. Maybe I can do that. So that's kind of the thought process I have with that.
It wouldn't be your only car too. So that's like a big benefit.
I have my truck,
as we talked about, like, you know, having a weekend car, like a more fun car, like, you know, having something that is like, maybe more modified, even though it sounds pretty drivable as it is. Like, you know, some of the things that you might have to compromise on, or maybe there's something you do have to do that, you know, it's not like you have to do it right away, but it's also not your daily driver and something that you
It might be my daily. Well, if I do buy this car, I don't know if I've decided yet.
A big
if I do buy this car, I think that it would be the car that I would take to Cars and Coffee, maybe drive it to work. Anything that's kid related or
go on these cool cool drives.
Right. those kind of things and things like that. So I think that because it's so impractical for a family car or moving anything and stuff like that, it's so impractical that it's really only purpose of a 370Z is just like one person driving back and forth to work, go on dates or, you know, these drives and things like that. It's not something you'd want to like road trip in, but people do, but I wouldn't imagine leaving the city with it. You know, I can't imagine leaving, maybe go to your place, showing you the car or something like that. But other than that, like I wouldn't like, you know, take it to Vegas or whatever. I could imagine doing anything like that with a car. I don't know. I mean,
I could see a haul, haul to Vegas though. Like you don't got a lot of stuff, so you don't need a lot of trunk space and you know, cruising with the windows down like for part of the way at least. Like,
still it's 150 degrees.
And then while you're in Vegas, like it's a cool car to kind of put around in Vegas, you know, while you're there. But, you know, but for real like livability type stuff, like if you're like going on a long like road trip, multi-state or something.
And with family too, the kids, it's impossible. Like wouldn't do with the kids and things like that. So it's kind of like, it's not like a, I even thought about when the guy bought my other Z, I thought about if I get into another sports car, I told him I'd probably maybe get a Mustang because it has a back seat because it's more practical.
Because it has a back seat.
Yeah, more practical and things like that.
Or the G37s or something like that too.
Yeah. So I was kind of thinking that route when I sold the other car, but there's just something about the Z. There's something about owning a Z, missing the Z. And I think people who've had Zs before always kind of gravitate back to them. Or something.
Yeah. I mean, as a previous Z owner myself, like I am like itching to get myself back into a Z32. Like that was just a generation I grew up with. But it is true. Like there's some cars that just stick with you, and like Zs are there. Like with a lot of people where
they've only once
and they want to get it back.
The what I was telling people before with my older Z and now with the Z, this Z particularly the 370. Is that it's like a pure sports car. Like it is purely a sports car. It's it's nothing else, you know? I mean, the way it's been designed, the engine, the way the engine designed, the suspension, the like everything in that car, like front engine, rear drive, two-seat sports car. Like, it's pure sports car. Like, six, it was a pure sports car. And so, you know, I mean, there's a lot of cars that are multiple different things. Kind of like your car.
Yeah,
you know?
And my mind goes straight to that. Like, you know, I could never, ever argue that the end cars are purpose-built, you know, performance cars, because they're all based on economy, you know, four-door, you know, essentially.
Well, they're also based
cars,
on another car they already have in their lineup, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
what my mind goes straight to in that scenario too is honestly, like, I was listening to somebody talking about the Z's in comparison to the Skylines, and you know how the Skylines really are, like, they were not necessarily purpose built, you know, performance sports cars. They have all of these variants of like four door, you know, sedans. They even have wagons over there, and like, you know, the different, you know, Skylines. And the obviously the top of the line GTRs were the ones that everybody really wanted. But
we saw one today. We saw one today. It was the, what's the one before the new generation? Is that 34 or 33?
Probably 34. Yeah, before the newest. Yeah, the one we got, the GTR.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever that one was, it was that one.
That was 35 or 34.
Whatever Pell Walker had, that one in the Fast and Furious.
34s.
Yeah, it was one of those today. Not that far from the house. Guys driving around. I'm like slowing down. I'm like, hey, Jacob, look. And he's like, what? He like double take out the window and like, we're trying to like drive side by side, but the guy went another direction. But I saw that from the front. I'm like, no, because I think the guy was driving on the other side of the car too. He had the right side drive. And so that kind of a thing too. So that's pretty cool to see something like that driving around town. Like, you don't see those two very, very often, you know?
Random story on that. I was driving on the parkway over here near us, and there was a FD RX-7, right-hand drive RX-7 that I've seen around here a few times, super nicely modified. And we were going down Temecula Parkway. It's basically like kind of a highway that kind of goes straight through Temecula. And I pulled up next to him, and I was like, oh, it'd be cool to, like, you know, just get a little pull and like hear him pull off. And dude, the thing just took off. Like, I heard the turbos full, and like, you know, he let it loose just a little. That probably was not even anywhere near like its limit, but he let it loose, and you just heard the turbo and everything, and he just took off. And so we stop at the light, and, you know, he looked over, and we started chatting a little bit because we ended up right next to each other. And he was like, oh, man, like, that thing sounds amazing. He was like, hey, you know what's funny? It's like, I actually have a Veloster in at home. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, so,
wow.
So there's an appreciation for the in cars. But I was, like, all drooling over his car. You know, those RX-7s are, like, if you talk about like the Japanese, like those Japanese sports cars of like the 90s and going into the 2000s, like the RX-7, the Skyline, the Z,
Supra,
you know, the NSX, you know, the Supra. Yeah, the NSX was maybe a little higher up just because of like the price bracket it was in. But
yeah,
like the Supras, the 3000 GT, that never really gets a lot of love.
You know what? I never cared. I thought that was like a Z knockoff.
And yeah, it was like a bloated Z. It did have all-wheel drive going for it, though.
But I was like, yeah, well, for me, all-wheel drive, I'm always thinking, like, I don't live in the snow. What do I need that for? You know, like, what do I need that for? You know, so...
a lot of people will say, like, oh, it's a performance, you know, because, you know, you can handle better. Like, you got more grip and things. But a lot of issues you have with all-wheel drive is that you get a lot of understeer.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, if you got a corner and drive the car differently on, like, you know, a cornering scenario than you would with rear wheel drive, because you're overcoming the front wheels doing all of this work. And so a lot of times, like, yeah, there are benefits in the sense where you can get better launches and things like that. But, you know, a true like cornering scenario, a lot of times, like rear wheel drive, all wheel drive,
and donuts, man,
they're going to be about the same.
Make the donuts.
Yeah, because if you don't, yeah, nowadays you have the functionality where a lot of cars can kind of switch it off.
Oh, like, yeah, I see.
You can change the bias and everything, but older cars, yeah, like, you know, the 3000 GT and all of those, it was locked as a four-wheel drive.
Good old Mitsubishi.
All-wheel drive, you know.
Whatever happened to them, huh? Mitsubishi, huh?
Yeah. There's this thing going on now with this whole trend of, like, you know, the Han movie, you know, the
Fast
Tokyo
Drift,
Fast
3.
And Furious. Where, yeah, like, Tokyo. You know, Han's like, you know, what am I going to do? Let you drive around in a Hyundai? And he's like throwing him the keys to the Mitsubishi Evo.
The Lancer, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and there was some dudes in like some thread with the in cars where they were like, yeah, that didn't age as well. Cause where's Mitsubishi right now?
I don't know. Making minivans? I don't know what they do these days. I have no idea.
They apparently are big in the aerospace realm or like somewhere like in
well, they make those trucks. They make trucks. Don't make those like moving trucks or those, they're like miniature. They made these like little moving, like UPS kind of trucks, or the kind of small trucks that you meet each other.
I probably have seen them around, but
they have Mitsubishi logo on them. When I worked for a freight company, we had one or two, and they were by Mitsubishi, I remember. And it's the Mitsubishi on the Mitsubishi diamonds on there everything. So they're like little like box, like freight trucks or whatever, you know, kind of UPS kind of things or whatever. They do that kind of stuff. But anyways, man, I don't know if I'm going to buy the car or not. I have no idea. We will find out. It's tempting. We will see. I think it'll be a great addition for Cool Cars with Chris. But we'll see what happens. You know, I got a lot of stuff happening around here in these parts. And,
it won't be cool to see you with the Z, because I know you sent me some videos of, you know, your old one. And man, that car looked super cool.
It did. All right, Courage.
Since you're local with all these cars and coffees, I'm sure a lot of other people are going to be excited to see you in one too.
Oh yeah, definitely. Even Jacob said at one point, he said, "Would it be cool if we show up together at a cool cars and coffee?" You had your Z, I had the Mustang. We kind of park like nose to nose or something, like, or credit, you know, car share parks, whatever, or even side by side, whatever, you know, at the events. Like, that'd be super cool. That'd be super, super cool. But he wants to mod his car. He's always telling me how mods he wants to do the car and all this stuff. I said, you know, well, we'll get your license first, you know? What about that?
Let's start there.
Yeah, and then...
On the drive, I was hanging with... There was a guy who had pretty much almost the same year Mustang as you guys have, as your son has, and his name was Chris, actually.
It wasn't mine. Was it red? Was it red?
It was black with red stripes, actually.
Oh, okay. So, I think I see. Was it a six-cylinder or the V8?
It was a six-cylinder, yeah.
Really? So,
yep.
Really?
He's probably been around it because he lives in San Diego. So he's probably been around at, you know, some other cars and coffees and stuff. But yeah, he told me he was behind me for a good amount of time. We actually got lost together.
Oh,
so we were like one of we were lost buddies and like just wondering like, okay, where are we? Like, we knew we were getting back to it, but we didn't know where we were going to be in the pack when we got back. And when I stopped off, I started chatting with him. And I think he said his was an 06 or 05, something like that. And he was like, yeah, my name's Chris. And he's like, oh, there's some similarities here.
Nice.
But people love that. People love that Jenna Mustang.
Yeah, it looks classic. It looks clean. It looks great. You know, I mean, it doesn't handle great or whatever. It has that live reaction.
He did say that.
Yeah.
He literally said what you just said. It was like, yeah, like, it's fun, like, to drive with the straights, but, like, that library axle on the corners is not.
Not just that, but just, this is, like, handles very well. Like, I don't want to take, I feel uncomfortable taking turns in the Mustang as fast as I would in the Z. Let's just say that. I mean, the car's got smaller tires on it, and, you know, it's Jacob's car. I want to break it, you know, whatever, or roll it over, or whatever it does. I don't know, but it doesn't, it just feels like a regular car. Like, you're driving, like, a Toyota Camry or something. Well, but Toyota's front-wheel drive versus rear-wheel drive. But it feels like a rear-wheel drive, like, I mean, I wouldn't say like the old cop car, but it feels kind of like that.
Oh, it's like a Crown Vic.
Yeah, not quite like a Crown Vic, but I mean, but maybe a little bit. I don't know. But anyways, Urge, I know it's late. I know it's so much fun having you on the show today, man, and talking about cars and cool stuff, man. So where can everybody find out all about you and all your cool stuff? What is your handle on YouTube?
Yeah, no, well, thanks for the shout out. The one time where I get to actually show this on camera, but the Driven Dad, check it out, YouTube, Instagram. Driven Dad 22 will take you right there, and got some fun stuff planned. So feel free to check it out.
Awesome. And don't forget to follow on coolcarswithchris.com. It is the official website. I got to rebuild the website. Don't you worry. But as of right now, Cool Cars with Chris is available for you to go check out all cool stuff, all the episodes. You can subscribe. You can follow. You know, you can send a message. I think you even send a voice message if you want. So please leave a voice message. That'd be kind of cool. So anyways, until next time, be safe. Keep your car on the street, not in the ditch. See you later.
That's consumer advice. See you guys.
Okay, let's see. And let's see. Oh, everything's... Oh, everything else quick. Everything uploaded fast. Probably because I'm not... Yeah, because usually it takes a while sometimes. I've had to take like 30 minutes afterwards. But it's probably because I was doing 4K. And I'm not doing 4K with a freebie here. So the free one or whatever. But Oh, I gotta stop it on here.